Walking Dead with three stupid guys. At this moment, there's only three stupid guys here. Mike is just catching up on the episode since it came out on Sunday. Today's Tuesday at 10:40, so he ran out of time in order to watch it. But I wanted Matt. He has a backdrop, but he has a plastic down in his.
You wanted me to start off the show.
Yeah, the people that are actually watching this on YouTube can look at say something so they can see it.
Oh yeah, so I'm just gonna kind of visually describe it here. You're seeing a lot of plastic wrap around the room, and I basically kind of made my own kill room so that when I kill zombies, it doesn't splatter all over my shirt like Carol.
I was gonna say my first thought was Dexter.
Oh, Dexter, yeah.
That's why I wanted you to show it. I go, man, this guy's turned into Dexter, but worse, he's making more mistakes than Dexter for the final seasons. He's videotaping it.
I'm videotaping it. I'm live killing now.
That's a rookie serial killer mistake, doing it live and showing your
face. Yeah.
I think that's just I'm not an expert. But, like, put a mask on or something like that.
Yeah, well, I kept thinking about Carol in this episode and the fact that you're going to go out, collect walnuts or acorns, Yeah. Put on a work shirt, that way you get the zombie blood.
I was thinking the same thing.
It's like, if I go out to clean the gutters, it's not like, well, that has a whole other double standard in the J&J.
if you listen to the Leftover podcast, cleaning the gutters means something entirely different than just...
Something entirely different. But if I'm painting something, I put on a paint shirt. If I'm killing zombies, I put on a zombie killing shirt.
Yeah, I have, she should put on that zombie killing poncho that I can't believe they haven't marketed yet. I just think that would make billions.
So Russ, have you been doing any house renovation construction to make your house look more like Dexter's?
None at all. I was actually in Maryland all weekend for a hockey tournament, so.
How'd that go?
Well, went well. My son's team won.
Huzzah!
Yeah.
Nice.
He was happy.
Well, yeah, I guess winning is. But you know what? Just competing and being there should be happiness alone. Making happiness, right?
It's just reward enough.
Any of your teams?
He was as happy as Glenn was killing his first human.
Spoiler alert.
It's the second one that he had the most pleasure with.
Yeah. Hey, I don't think we've talked to Matt since Peyton Manning retired, have we?
Mm-mm.
Any
no.
Because he was, your quarterback for the longest time, started in Indianapolis, and Mike's now here.
Mike, join us for quarterback talk. I'm feeling great about the Peyton Manning retirement thing. I just was worried that he wasn't going to retire, actually. I was like, please.
I think if someone would have gave him a job, I think he stays.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that there's like this, like, just being back in the game. It's like Russ's son. He just wants to, he's probably just starting out playing hockey, and he's like, I love this game. I never want to stop playing it. Yeah, I want to be like you, Dad.
But he's 12.
Right.
Peyton Manning can't tie his own shoes.
Yeah, he's got to have a hip replacement or whatever.
Yeah, you won the Super Bowl. You got lots of money. I get it. It's something you've done your whole life. And I get it's hard to say, I got to stop, but he can go into broadcasting. He can go do. But then you had Brock Osweiler. I don't know if you saw that TMZ where he pushed a woman.
No, I hadn't seen that.
He looked like he was intoxicated coming out with a pizza box.
Huh.
And he got into something and he pushes his woman out of the way. And some guy pushes him, says, you don't hit a woman. And all hell breaks loose. And
no.
I don't know if it's going to cost him in free agency or not.
Well, the only thing I don't know what else to say about the Peyton Manning retirement. I mean, it's glad that he did it. It was kind of time. But it's kind of neat around Indianapolis just seeing, like, all of the tributes, like, different local places will have, like, thanks, Peyton, billboards that, just kind of thanking him. So it's like, he's not here, guys, right? You realize that.
Does he have restaurants have the large forehead burger?
So who knew Carol was a big Peyton Manning fan?
Yeah.
That was one of my notes for this episode. She wrote down 18, and then she circled it.
Yeah.
Like 18.
Anyway, I see Mike's here. Do you guys want to get in the recap?
Let's do it, because you're Cinderella.
Cinderella. I'm going to start the... I'm going to have the episode. I forgot I used to do this.
Well, I just want to say, Peyton Manning should have retired during the Super Bowl, because some people had a bet wagered him on retiring the Super Bowl.
Somebody should have listened to the BS podcast about it, because I think Bill Simmons totally called it. So, just saying.
But I think he's got a nice cushy job with Budweiser after this.
Yeah. Well, he has Papa John's Pizza and all the other stuff going on. So, anyway, going to The Walking Dead, because that's what we do here. And I know someone's going to go, it took him 30 minutes just to start talking about The Walking Dead.
That's only like five, right? We chatted not that long.
This one's called Not Tomorrow Yet. So it starts out, as you can see, if you were watching us live, Carol is getting, she looks like she's baking something. So now nobody's eating because they have no food right now, right? But Carol can make cookies.
Yes.
She has enough supplies for beets and, beets and what? Cookies?
Acorns.
Acorn cookies.
Let's get our nuts right.
Yeah. And she's walking through. Matt talked about this a little earlier. She's walking through, kills a walker and gets blood all over her bright white shirt.
I wonder.
And it's coming up right now. As you can see, she's got this walker. It looks like a woman in a nightgown. She probably was, you know.
I think half the zombies are in nightgowns.
I think so.
Hey, you know, did any of you guys, like, think after she passed out the cookies, did any of you, like, think, like, you know what, I bet you she's saying they're beets, but she forgot to wash them off after slicing, dicing a walker?
You think so?
That's what I thought. I was like, no, she didn't put beets in them. She just forgot, like, she had, like, blood all over the place. I'm like, God.
Well, she
didn't wash. She didn't rinse off those. She didn't rinse off her nuts.
I'm gonna say you're wrong on that one because she had the cans of beets there. I know where you're going with this. And
wait, you got the title of our podcast episode, Matt. There, you want to mark it down?
Yeah.
She didn't watch out for nuts.
She didn't watch out for nuts. So anyway, but then she takes a shower, and I'm curious if there's no functioning water plants around. How are they still getting water? Have we ever found out how they get water?
I thought there was something. They kind of shorthandedly explained this about Alexandria at the very beginning when they got there, that they were on their own water supply. They had their own electricity with a solar grid.
All right. I get the electricity.
They're the magic town.
Yeah. So she's out there. She's passing cookies out to everybody, and she brings Tobin some cookies, and he's like, I'm really not into cookies. Yeah. She goes, no, you're gonna eat these. You're gonna put these in your mouth. And I'm like going, wow, this show is. If only Russ had wrote this show, it would make more sense. But he goes, these are the best beet cookies or best beet acorn cookies I've ever had. And he's eating them right now. Right now, he's eating them.
I'm gonna start to use that line at the bars when I go to grills.
But then
my, yeah.
Go ahead.
You don't. Do you know how many times I'm at a restaurant and I see a chick and I'm like, man, I wish you'd walk over here and say,
you see
you're
a female,
take this burger, and you're gonna put it in your mouth and you're gonna eat it.
You know,
this is
Russ. This is not the '70s. We have female viewers who probably don't like to be called chicks anymore.
Russ, you're just like a couple years older than me, but it's like you're raised in an entirely different.
Chicks who should be barefoot and pregnant.
He called Liz Lozo a chick too, I think. She was on the show.
Making me cookies. These chicks.
One of the only females we've ever had on this show.
And I don't think she'll ever come back.
Well, that's because Matt scared her off. He was like staring at her the whole time.
I beg to differ. But
Matt will
anyway.
Only think that will bring her back.
Mean, Matt was sitting there licking his screen and everything. It was like, come on, we know.
Yeah, I think there's people licking their screens right now, just like, why won't you talk about The Walking Dead?
Okay. Why won't the screen turn off?
Anyway, so Rick and the gang return in his motorhome. He says, Rick tells everyone needs to be in the church in about an hour. And they go, what's up? He goes, I can't tell you, but I'll tell you in an hour. But he tells Carol, we're going to have to do some battle. We're going to have to fight again.
Oh, and it's almost on the part here where she leaves the cookie for Sam.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of...
Yeah, Morgan walks up and tells Carol it's been 2 weeks since we've talked, and Carol's like, yeah, so? And he goes, why didn't you tell him? Why didn't you tell Rick? And, you know, Rosita, Eugene, nobody told because I told him not to. And it seems like a different Carol in this episode, doesn't it? It seems like she's almost wanting to go back to Carol the... She wants to go leave Carol Rambo Carol behind and become Carol the
homemaker slash...
She wants to be Carol Stewart.
You lost me.
Martha Stewart.
You know, oh, Martha
Carol.
Stewart. Martha okay.
Stewart. Oh, Carol Stewart. Sure.
She wants to go to jail. Okay. So, but is it because she feels that she's responsible?
I don't know. I thought this whole scene between her and Morgan, like, I kept thinking, like, what is it? I guess they didn't tell Rick about the wolf. Like, they didn't really, like, come out and just
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
But Carol, right. Carol seems to be wanting to go be a different direction. And then she leaves the cookie on Sam's grave. And I'm thinking, okay, how much Sam of there could have been left to bury?
Good point. I kept wanting the hand to kind of come out and grab the cookie and pull it down. I don't know if anybody else wanted that.
Like Carrie?
Yeah, just like right out of the grave there. And then
spoiler for anyone who hadn't seen Carrie, I apologize.
I think it was more like The Walking Dead trying to remind you, like, hey, we had this like little issue fight 4 episodes ago that we ignored for like a month.
Yeah.
If you last remember Carol and Morgan...
I liked we'll get to the other conversations later.
But I just was wondering, it just seems like Carol's going a different direction. But anyway, then we go to we have the opening scene, we have the thing, and then they have previews for the Fear of the Walking Dead. Then she leaves the cookie for a little poor Sam. Again, but seriously, would there have been much of Sam left?
they just buried the walkers that ate Sam.
The ants from his room would have got him.
There you go. They're in the church. Rick tells the group what they have to do. He's just going to this whole speech. Eugene's looking like this. Eugene's getting that I've got to look tough look. He's trying to change. I think it's about changes because Eugene's trying to change his image. He's trying to be tougher. Would you guys agree? Anyone?
I don't. I just thought Eugene was just kind of a no player.
I think he's just feeling a little more confident and in place now that he actually did some, you know, walker killings, zapping. Yeah.
Okay.
He looked really tough when he was eating that cookie during the breakup scene.
We're not there yet.
I know. I'm just. Hopefully, people watch the episode and they can talk about it. So, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So he tells the group, this is a group decision, and the only one standing up is Morgan. And Morgan goes, we can win this. We will win this. But we need to go tell them and say, hey, how about we negotiate? Anyone think this is a good idea? Russ?
No.
Mike?
Is any Morgan idea good? All right, then.
Matt?
No, this isn't a good idea. You can't negotiate with this Negan guy.
No. Negan guy or gal.
Or it could be a gal.
Negan chick.
But it's a guy.
Spoiler. So,
but you have the it's just like everyone's I guess but just Morgan doesn't want to kill, and I get that. Who wants to live in a world where you have to kill every single day? I think we've talked about this a thousand times, but I think Morgan it's just the world they live in. Until you get some kind of law and order, it's gonna be kill or be killed.
Yeah, you know, it's kinda like what you and I talked about earlier today about, you know, how you're talking about, you know, Carol had guilt and everything. And I was like, well, you know, this is they're living in an era where you can't have feelings for guilt and stuff anymore. It's like survival.
But they're human. I mean, I don't know how you can go away from that. I mean, you're still human. I know the world has changed and you have to kill to survive, but at some point, you still have to go. You have to be depressed.
I mean, you know, I think it's more important to survive than feel human.
I get it, but you still have to survive. But in the end, it's like even when she killed that zombie and got blood all over her shirt, she didn't have that same Carol look. Anybody?
Just me? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think Carol's kind of, she likes the home life. I mean, yeah. Tobin, to just kind of jump to that Tobin scene, I mean, he calls her like, well, you're a mom, or yeah. You know, to all of these people, except to me. Yeah. Wow, wow.
Well, that's where you go. Carol can't sleep. She writes down a bunch of numbers, but then she writes 18 and circles it. And like Matt pointed out, ironically, Peyton Manning retired this week, and 18...
So this is kind of serendipity. It's a shout out.
Because I think it's almost a shout out to us, because we have talked about Peyton Manning being a zombie and how easy he would be to kill. Because
and Tobin looked a lot like Peyton Manning with that big forehead.
He does. So
some of the walkers this season were much faster than Peyton Manning.
True, but could that have been a shout out to us?
I'm going to take it as a win.
Okay.
Because you know, this comes up in the goofs and errors that I read about this episode, is that that apparently she had killed 8 wolves, but she marks it down at 7, so she actually had killed 19. So she's clearly a Johnny Unitas fan.
Okay, there you go. So she's a Colts fan. We know that.
We know that. Yeah, okay. She's clearly from the Midwest because her husband beat her. So, yeah. Hey,
that was Matt playing, not
I can say
that,
it because I live here.
That might have been the worst thing I've ever heard on the show.
Matt,
really?
You know, it would have sounded better if you just had it said chicks or something.
Yeah. Right.
Sure.
We had 3 live viewers in the chat. Now we have none.
Tell me a more offensive thing that's been said on the show.
Obviously, we don't condone beating.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that she's from the Midwest.
And she did have, her husband was abusive to her.
Matt just does a lot of wife beaters.
Coincidence?
In Indianapolis.
Okay. I don't know if we're going to be podcasting next week. We could be banned. I don't think you meant it. You weren't condoning beating.
I'm not at all.
He just knows a lot of wife beaters. He's friends with a lot of wife beaters.
I'm just amazed at how much the bus is laughing about this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
There go those great reviews. Anyway, if you like this podcast and other podcasts like it, I think this is a perfect time to do it.
Sure. If you like wife beating, you can leave us a review.
/JJack and help us out there. Go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review on the. And like I said, of all people, say it, Matt. But I think I get what you're saying.
You said I was on fire last week. I was bringing my A game again.
Might have cooled off a little bit this week.
Matt's on vacation. We brought Andrew Dice Clay onto the show.
You know, so. And Nico. So
Peyton Manning retires, and all of a sudden, Matt falls off the train tracks here.
That was the only reason I was on the show.
So we got Carol walks over. Carol walks over to her Tobin and shares a smoke and a kiss. So what do we think there?
I was surprised Tobin was still on the show. I was like, oh, he's still here. He didn't get killed.
That's what I was actually surprised. I was like, when did he come back?
Of all the relationship things to like throw at Carol, I was like, what? So.
But
I was just
is that more like her? I can't remember her first husband. I just remember he was a terrible person.
Matt knows a little bit of something about him.
Oh, I did not say that I condone it nor am I one. It just was throwing the entire Midwest under the bus, and you know the Midwest expands a really long range, guys. I mean, down right. to Texas.
No, but is it just
a whole lot of beating going on, right?
Okay.
Why don't we change the subject on this one, because I don't need to answer the emails for this.
Jack's really trying to get us back on topic here.
So, but is it more like, because I think for the longest time everyone thought Daryl and Carol were going to be the couple.
Yeah.
Is this more like her comfort zone? This guy is he's not going out, he doesn't feel comfortable going out killing people. He's not really a fighter. He's just a guy that she sees.
You know, I never thought that. I never thought that Carol and Daryl were going to end up together because, like, Daryl is going to end up with a hot chick, and I've never thought Carol to be hot at all.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Can we stop with the anti-women thing here?
Okay, just to defend Carol's honor here, I'll just say that I think that she's an attractive woman. I mean, why does Daryl have to end up with a hot chick? Like, all of a sudden he's...
I say she's very attractive. She's got pretty eyes.
Nice haircut. I dig the short hair thing. So...
No, she burns people. Not at all.
She is a burner, and she has killed children in her.
Yeah, I don't have to be fair.
She told him to look at the flowers.
I really don't. I'm not a big Carol fan.
All right, so you don't see it, but I think it's more like this. Tobin is more her style, more her comfort zone.
Well, yeah, I think
he seems more like the type that's like family, you know.
Yeah.
The wife and kids, white picket fence, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, not Daryl. Daryl's like, he needs like a kind of like a rugged motorcycle woman, like Carol.
Like her chick.
Yeah.
She's not a motorcycle person. You know, I mean, it's like it just.
Look how all of a sudden Russ is being politically correct. A biker person.
Not a chick.
Well,
okay.
I figure Jack's going to be busy enough after this episode anyway, so.
Hey.
Okay, so we haven't gotten to that point yet, but, you know, there's a 50-50 chance she might die next week, right? I mean, her life is in jeopardy.
So you think
everybody's got a 50-50 chance of dying on any episode.
Sure, but, I mean, now that she's hooked up with someone, it's like she's more likely to die.
She's getting.
I mean, and this was kind of more her episode.
She's finding happiness and that she deserves to die now? Or not just years of die, but, you know, that's just what happens on the show.
There's too many episodes till the finale. They're not going to kill off somebody midway like this.
All right.
And these boring filler episodes.
All right, let's leave.
Whoa, boring.
Well, we'll wait till after we're done here. So you have Abraham and Rosita are talking, and they're done. He says they're just done. And I thought this was probably I just thought he was the biggest dick. I'm going to say it was the biggest dick. On the episode, his line was,
when we first met,
I thought you were the only woman alive. Now I found out you're not. What an offensive way to you break up with someone.
Yeah. That was in my notes. Actually, go ahead, Russ.
Go ahead, Russ.
Well, I just didn't quite understand what led up to him making that decision. Like I thought he said he was leaving, like he was like, I was going like he's leaving to like leave, like he's leaving the compound, and next thing I know he's with them on this like mission, and I'm like,
no, it's like, they just said they're setting this up for a week or so that he's falling in love with Sasha.
He was packing his main bags. He was packing mainly like all of his possessions and leaving, and
I think she's far better attractive of a woman than Carol is. Like,
there's
He's not going to Carol though.
No, I know that, but I'm saying like, you know, maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're setting Rosita up for Daryl.
Rosita will have her pick of the walkers.
Yeah. Well, I just thought there's several things. The way he broke up with her was really cold. The fact that he's breaking up with her before they're going on this mission.
Yeah.
Was even.
You
gotta
have your head in the game, like.
Yeah, I just thought it was just. I get it. You're in love with someone else, but you could have handled it better. His character, I thought, I always liked his character. He's lost a few points here.
Okay.
No, but you know what? Like, even last.
We're not
gonna
defend him, right?
No, well, kind of. You know, last week's episode.
We don't know where you're defending.
He kind of.
We're already in the hole here. We're already in the hole here. How do you defend this? I'm gonna call you out, Russ. There's no way you can defend this.
Oh, I'm not defending. I'm just saying that he's very matter of fact, and I think that's just how he says things. You know, like what he said to Glenn last week about like when you were making like. you know, when you were making the batter, were you thinking about making pancakes? Like, he's very, just comes out and says it, and I don't think he thinks about what he says, and that's
he
just
did,
how he said
he
it.
He did have one of the best jokes of the week, by the way, which is, why are dingleberries brown?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, overall, though, I thought I get that's his personality.
Yeah.
But I thought it was I thought it was terrible.
Oh, it was a cold-hearted cut.
It was tacky. Like, I thought it was tacky.
Because you're going to be living in the same compound.
Right.
And fighting together on this next battle. No, I thought the whole thing with I thought it was going to lead to, like, one of them dying because their head wasn't in the game.
But like so. I said, it's the worst thing in this kind of what's going on in the world right now. I thought you're the only one. Only reason I was with you because I thought you were the only one alive.
So who had the better exit, Abraham or Dale?
I think Dale had the better exit.
He did have a lot of calls, wishing him a lot of love.
He did. So there, the Taft got off better. You got Eugene, but there was a little liberty there because Eugene's caught staring at the scene. Remember, he used to stare at them when they had sex.
Right. Yeah. So, I thought it was
kind of funny. Boy, and she shut the door on him fast.
Well, if you tried these cookies, they're kind of soft, and she slammed the door on his face. So,
yeah, hey, at least she's not desperate going for some Eugene rebound.
I thought that was awesome, though.
I just thought I felt bad for Eugene there. Because what are you supposed to do in that situation when you're staring at someone?
Go get another cookie.
Yeah. Well, he can go get the one. Sam's not eating his, so he can go get that one.
Russ is just happy the cookies were getting some time to shine in the episode.
Hey, you know. All he needed to do was say, "Hey, well, I'm gonna go watch Carol and Archie Bunker over there."
Archie Bunker. So then we have Andy's drawing. He's showing the guys the Savior's compound. He's showing them different things going on like that. And then we go to Tara and Denise, and Tara tells Denise she loves her, but Denise doesn't say it back right away, does she?
Nope.
She said, "I'll say it."
She's just playing hard to get. Can't lay all your cards out on the table.
Well, is that or she just want to commit, you know, she's going on a dangerous mission. Does she want to commit to her?
She wants to keep her options open. You never know. She might find something else.
She heard that Rosita is available is what happened.
Yeah. And as Russ would say, she's a hotter chick, right? Rosita's a hotter chick.
Big time.
Anyway.
Like, I wouldn't turn her down.
So the group heads out. And they started. I go, what the heck? First, I wasn't getting out what they were doing. They're all honking their horns of their vehicles. I go, you're trying to sneak up on somebody. What are you trying to do? Then they're, which I thought, okay, that's a good idea. And you got Rick and ask Gabriel, why are you still wearing that your outfit? Why are you still wearing that? And I thought Gabriel had one of the better lines. He goes, you know, it's still who I am, and it's also at night, it's dark.
Yeah,
so I thought that was a pretty clever line. Because remember last season we all wanted Gabriel to die. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah.
And now he saved Judith. He's fighting. He's become. He's changed his attitude towards life.
He's got some personality to him too. You know, he's coming up with some one-liners. He's getting in there.
And we never saw Father Mulcahy, like, pick up a rifle and go out into action. So, you know, it's cool to see a priest, you know, just kind of...
Father Mulcahy did go behind enemy lines and pick up the morphine they needed.
That's true. I do remember that episode.
So he did do, and they were shooting at the bell, and cleaning her head, saying, Father, get back in the car. And they got the stuff, so...
Yeah.
Father Mulcahy was behind enemy lines and had to give a tracheotomy to someone who was choking with radar. So he had to put a pen.
Yeah, he used a pen. He used a pen for it. I remember that.
Because Radar said, I have a pencil. No, it has to be something hollow.
Mike's just upset that I brought up MASH.
Wasn't me. So they're out looking for Walker. Rick and Gabriel have their little conversation. Rosita talks with Carol. And you think she was just upset with how she was treated by Abraham? Because she was like, why aren't we calling out Morgan? Morgan is stupid.
Right.
You know, he's not part of us. And she goes, well, he doesn't. And Carol says he doesn't want to kill. Well, she goes, none of us want to kill, but we have to. So do you guys agree with Carol or Rosita here? I know Russ would agree with Rosita. I need your answer, Russ.
Yeah, I disagree with Carol just because.
Okay.
I liked seeing some backbone and some spunk from Rosita, yeah. but it makes more sense as to why.
Yeah, it didn't come out of it. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I agree with the chick.
Okay.
Which one?
I like seeing Rosita's backbone, too.
Whoa, really? I mean, you know, my comment really was the worst, Mike?
Oh, we should put this up to like a Twitter poll.
Sure.
I don't think we need to do that.
Please, Jack, let me do it.
So let me just bring out some trivia here. So, because the next scene that's coming up, I think, has to deal with these severed heads. Although I think Jack might have a couple more notes. But,
well, we have Glenn and Scott are out talking. And they talk about not having ever killed anyone. And I go, I forgot Glenn never killed anyone. Of all his times out, he'd never killed anyone.
Right.
Which I completely forgot about. Did you guys, was that a shock to you guys? Or you?
Yeah, I didn't think of that either. Actually, until you said it earlier today, I was like, you know what, you're right.
He's killed plenty of walkers.
I guess you kind of forget about all that with all the killing they've been doing.
Right.
They have talked about that on Talking Dead a lot. So that's how I knew about it.
Well, wait, how did you watch The Talking Dead?
I'm just saying previous episodes, not
the
episodes.
Oh, previous episodes.
So you watched The Talking Dead before you watched The Walking Dead.
I did not watch Talking Dead this week.
All right, so they got three walker heads back, and they're asked if it looks like, what's his name? I forgot the guy's name.
The guy from Game of Thrones?
No. What's the guy, the boss's
name?
No,
but you know what? It reminded me of the Talking Heads there at the Disney ride. You remember that?
A Haunted House?
Yeah, the Haunted House. That's what it reminded me of. I was like, hey, the Haunted House from Disney. Where's the hidden Mickey? That's what I was looking for.
Well, one of the severed heads was sculpted after Johnny Depp's.
Yes.
One of the severed heads was also sculpted after Greg Nicotero's head, who is a director on the show and does a lot of the zombie work. So.
Well, there you
go. Anyway, that was my little trivia about that.
Well, there's your Disney connection with the Johnny Depp, right?
Well, Pirates of the Caribbean, Disney,
there we go. There we go. It's all connected.
I like it. I love
also, that. I thought that Rick was like a sculptor with his fist.
Well, as an artist, would you say that's the correct way to sculpt something?
Yeah, you know, just keep pounding that clay with your fist.
Well, you have Andy and Jesus are looking at it, and they're like, well, it looks a lot like him, but he has a different nose, so Rick just goes, well, punches him three times, and of course Rick gives his new tagline, looks at because Andy's looking at him like he's nuts, he goes, what? So is that going to be something that Rick says every episode? What?
It's pretty hard to make a one-word tagline, but
you're not around Carl anymore, so you can't say what, Mike?
Carl.
I say what? What? And then Andy says something. Tells Rick, the Saviors they're scary, but they have nothing on you. So Rick is just scaring them. But I think they're willing to go to battle with him. Andy drives up. We have Andy driving up to the Survivors. Is it Survivors? Saviors Combat. I'm sorry.
Saviors.
Yes.
They come up to the guard. He's carrying the head up there, and the guy has some choice words for him. He calls him Needle Dick, and you know all this different stuff. He goes, "We don't want the bag. We just want the head." And they're looking at the head, and he's like going, "Well, he put up a fight." Now, at this point, would anyone, if you were on the Saviors, would you have believed Andy at this point? He looked nervous. He looked like he was afraid. Anybody? Mike?
Nah, it's all Matt.
Matt?
It's all me? What? You just...
You started speaking.
Hey, do you guys listen to read the tweets?
Of what?
The tweets? Which ones? Because there's thousands.
There's tweets everywhere.
You read the newspapers? Much?
No, tweets about the show. There's some pretty good ones.
Hashtag just discovered.
Hashtag
new to Twitter.
I just got the internet.
I think that, you know, his nervousness...
Hey, can I say this show should be hashtag not our best one ever.
Three of our heads were severed. Can you guess which three?
Underline stupid on the stupid guys this week.
No, anyway. I think Fizzlehoff said a good one. I was reading. It was pretty good.
What was it?
Go ahead and share it.
I don't know how to read it. It just said none of the severed heads were sculpted after a hot chick.
So you're not reading the are you reading Twitter or you're reading the
It just says tweet and it's at three stupid guys. So
Okay. Nice. Okay. Well, it was something directed to us, so thanks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm asking if you guys read them because they've been coming in. I'm getting a good chuckle. They're pretty funny.
Well, not right now, but maybe I'll click on there and see what's going on.
I'm reading the Facebook kind of reactions to this episode, so most people really enjoyed it. So.
Now, here's what Fizzlehoff said, I think countering you, Russ. Carol's a total badass and would be great with Daryl. So there, what do you have that? What do you think that?
I mean, yeah, kind of, but that's just not who I picture him with. But that's my opinion. I'm not saying it's right or anything. I'm just saying that's how I think, you know?
It's just like some Megan Fox.
I thought Rick was better with Jess than everyone thinks it's awesome that he and Michonne are together. Like, I just don't.
I always thought him with Michonne. They've bonded. They're one.
Ever since Michonne got that cat, and had that bonding experience with, Carl, I always kind of thought that they would end up together in some kind of weird household.
Anyway, the one guard takes the zombie's mouth and makes, saying, "Oh, you broke my nose." That was kind of freaky. Then he wipes all the zombie juice on Andy's
shirt.
That's
rude.
Slaps him in the face, and then he goes in to get the guy that they're there to rescue, and he goes, "Yeah, you'll bring us more. We'll leave your guy, but you're gonna bring us more stuff next week." He goes, "Sure." So then they. Guys whistling. I thought this guy was overacting. I'm not calling this guy out, but I didn't like the guy with the beard. I didn't like his acting.
Yeah, I didn't like him.
So he gets his throat slit, kills him. They run around. They make it, and the guy comes walking back out. What happened to that bad actor that was here? My partner. Wouldn't you have asked that?
No, I was thinking that he probably went on to where. Whatever his post was or wherever he was.
Why would you leave this guy alone?
Right, exactly.
Well, he's waiting outside. He's waiting for his buddy, and then he's going to take off.
Okay. I thought it was bad.
Yeah, so he comes out with the guy, and then he looks and he says, "Where's Rubio?" Or I don't know, Marco. Yeah,
Marco Rubio. Where's he at?
I don't know what his name was, but...
Guard something. I said guard words. I don't think.
Where is guard number one? He comes out and actually says that. Where is guard number one?
The guy with the beard. But he gets stabbed. He kills him. Then so they infiltrate the compound. And the first one comes up. Rick takes his knife and stabs this guy in the head in his sleep. And Rick didn't really have any problems with it. Mike, did this scene? What did this scene do for you? Anything?
I was trying to get through it just so I could join the show. So,
way to be honest, though.
I was, I was kind of like, I think I always have this fear, and I mean, this is just something personal. Like, it always gave me kind of the creeps as a kid, hearing about people who die in their sleep, and I just kind of.
Lived in fear of Rick. Coming into your room.
Yeah,
room
I mean,
kid,
you know, he might as well. I was just, it just kind of made me feel kind of eerie, that's all.
Well, is it because you had to say that prayer at night? Now I lay me down to sleep? I pray that the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. Because, after saying that so many times as a kid, and I did it, I grew up in the Midwest.
Well, we used to say it in Greek and French, so.
Oh. Really, up there in the... But, it is kind of freaky, You're like, how am I going to die in my sleep? Shouldn't you be, making sure this doesn't happen?
So, wait, you guys didn't say Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice before you went to sleep? Three times? That's only me? All right, sorry.
Your mom had some unique child rearing experiences then.
Beetlejuice.
Okay, so, I thought the scene was freaky though. Like, I mean, just like how calculated.
Yeah, I was kind of uncomfortable, like unsettled, you know.
But I was in dreadful, like, unlike Mike watching this section, I was like kind of all in. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is like it's all going down. Like,
well, to me, it's obviously, if you're killing someone is not an easy thing, but this has to be the hardest way to kill someone. I mean, there's a lot. It's not a zombie.
Yeah.
It's you have to kill, and you're killing them in the head so they don't turn into zombies and can't attack you later on.
It's not even a knife in the back.
No, it's
right.
It's,
like some, yeah, like, you know, in the shows when somebody like shoot me in the back, whatever, you know, you traitor, whatever. It's like they're asleep. They're not even conscious.
Yeah, and they're sound sleepers. And then you have Glenn and Scott go in. Glenn hesitates a little bit, but then he does stab the guy in the head. He turns to Scott, and Scott's thinking, and Glenn goes, "No, I'm a veteran now. I can do it. And he does it. So should he have let Scott do it? Or was it better not to let Scott do it and have them all hell break loose? What do you think?
Russ, you got any thoughts on that one? Is it better to...
It's a good question.
Well, do you have an answer?
Not right yet.
Okay, Matt, do you have an answer for that?
I thought it was kind of a sweet gesture in a weird kind of way. Like, hey, buddy, I got this. You don't have to, like, take
but
this on or something.
But is he safe? Is Scott going to eventually have to kill someone anyway, so...
Yeah, about, like, a couple minutes later. But, you know, that's different when people are shooting at you than when somebody's obviously laying there asleep.
But so. Then they notice that they notice a corkboard, and so they're... I think this scene was put in there to make Glenn feel like he's not a murderer, not a... Like they were killing
people.
Because you have the cork board where the guy has his trophies, the photos of people that he's blown their faces off.
Yeah, or beaten.
Beaten, yeah, either yeah, one. So.
You know, when I saw that, I kind of, you know, it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. Like, I think the whole feeling sympathy and good feeling things is out the window now. I mean, now it's just like, you know, it's kind of like how they've mentioned earlier in the episodes. It's like, kill or be killed. Like, you've got two options. You know, you're either going to live or you're going to die.
But I think anybody, if you, even people have gone to war, you can, like I said, I watch Band of Brothers every year, and they have the actual people that have, that are, you know, the actual soldiers, and it still affects them 60 years later. I think you have to keep it real. You can't just have people who have no... As a show, you can't have people who just, I don't care anymore, and I just want to, because Rick's got to that point where I can just kill,
right.
Kill. Whereas Carol looks like she's going back to where I don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to live in a world where I can have a life. I can, you know, have a family again. I can enjoy life. I don't want to go out and kill everybody.
But I think that's the, you know, going back to the, what we talked about a couple seasons ago, the false sense of security of what Alexandria brings, right? You know, inside the walls, they can act normal and pretend that life is normal and, you know, hey, we're all happy families. But outside the walls, it's like, you know, you got to act like savages. And I think that's part of, you know, how we talked about, you know, maybe Alexandria is making them kind of soft a little bit.
Well, I think it does, but I think it's realistic though. I don't care where you are. I think in this world, some people would be
right. But remind. I won't spoil the ending, but remind me when you get to the end of my comment that I made, and you'll see what I mean.
But I agree with you. But I'm just saying that it's to me as a TV show, it has to be realistic, and it wouldn't be any fun if everybody was acting like Rick right now, where nobody had a heart, nobody had compassion, nobody had guilt about what they're doing. I think you have to have compassion.
But I think having compassion and guilt sets you up to fail, and
You know? I agree with you, but I don't think it's. I think it's just a normal thing. I just you can't. Some people you just can't help. I think you just can't help it.
Right.
Whoever sleeps with Polaroids of beaten faces in their room, I mean, really, I mean, they deserve to die in their sleep the way they did. So, you know, way to go, Glenn. You're a hero in my book. I just wanted to mention one last comment here on the Facebook thread here. Jonathan Sherby says, is it really that quiet and effortlessly to kill someone with a knife to the head? They made it seem like their heads were made out of butter. I like that comment. So,
you think they'd scream or something?
Yeah, like or twitch or jerk or like. Yeah. I mean, it's you know.
There were two people in that room. You think the first guy would have,
And you're living in a zombie apocalypse. Like you'd be on edge. Like hey, you know, like I don't know. And this crew of guys, it doesn't seem like.
I'm locking my door.
Yeah.
They're in a pretty solid compound. I mean,
they're kind of in a weird fraternity, though, too, because, like...
I don't trust anybody. I'm locking my door.
Yeah, I don't even trust the guy sleeping across from me in the cot, right?
Exactly. I put a little tape line there and say, you don't cross this line.
Yeah, it's a total Happy Days moment there. Is it Happy Days that they do that?
Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch,
okay. Sorry.
So
I thought Laverne and Shirley did it too. Maybe
they probably did it too. It's a old standard joke.
Mork.
So then you have Sasha and Abraham are going along, and this guy comes out and they fight with him. They stab him, but he pulls the alarm. The alarm whoop 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 going off, and then all hell breaks loose. Maggie says we got to go in, and Carol says no, you're not going in. And they're going why? Because you need to be somebody else. So does she need to be a mom now, and she doesn't need to be a killer, right?
Carol's okay. Getting soft.
Well, I think she's saying she doesn't want she doesn't want Maggie to become her.
Right.
I think that's what this whole episode was about, was Carol being.
Jack, you're bringing up some good points that I hadn't thought about as far as like the character motivation between Carol and Maggie in that moment.
Yeah, she's pregnant. She's
Tobin. Yeah, Tobin calls her a mom, but not to him. I mean, then that sets up the whole.
You have to replenish life. You have to have, you know. You have to have people having babies. So, and I think I said it last week. Should Maggie be out there in the first place? I thought it was a bad idea last week.
The entire time Carol was arguing with her, I was like, "That's Jack. He's making the argument." You know, like so.
Be there, and if Glenn was. Should have put on his big boy panties and said, no, you're not going out there. Sometimes you got to put your foot down. I'm not trying to be a chauvinist, but there's certain situations I wouldn't let my pregnant wife go into.
That's really noble of you.
When she was teaching and she fell down on the ice, I said, you're no longer teaching.
Right.
And I put my foot down. It's okay, to be fair, in 27 years, I put my foot down like 3 times. The other 6,895 times I've lost, but at least 3 times I was. And so the battle begins. I thought this was pretty exciting scene. There's killing. There's Rick. It looks like.
I liked all of the door action. I mean, it's like they're busting through doors. You don't know which door's you don't know which door is busting down with which people.
Right.
I mean, it's happening like ba bam, ba bam, ba bam.
We had Ross goes into a room and then he realizes there's someone behind him. And then he avoids the guy, stabs him. And I think he said, it's better you than me. So it's Russ's saying, right? It was something like that. He said something to that effect, right?
His name's Darren, right?
Is it Darren? I thought it was Ross.
No, you're thinking of Friends. But I like to think Ross like going into a room and having to stab Joey. It's better you than me.
We were on a break.
the actor's name is Ross. It's Aaron was his name.
Hey, there you go. You're pulling the actor's name. Nice.
So Aaron was his name. I don't know why I got the actor's name, but so Aaron goes in the room. He does that, and then you got Glenn and Scott are running, and they run in the armory. They get shot out, and they pull the guns out. And it's the first time you really see fear in Glenn's face.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah, you know, I was a little worried when they were in the armory there, and he started shooting because I was like, going, how do they know who they're shooting at?
Oh, right.
Well, they knew they were being chased by they were being shot at, so they knew that whoever was chasing him was behind him. I like how Glenn did a total James Bond move by he shoots the lock off the door. As he's running, he's shooting the lock off the door, and they kick it in. But you think Glenn is – maybe Glenn's changing too because he's a father now. He's soon to be – he's going to be a father someday. He has a child on the way. You think maybe he's a little more worried about dying than he was before?
I think it's just that Glenn – yeah.
Go ahead, Russ.
I just think Glenn's a survivor, though. I think he'll do anything to survive. He's proven that time and again.
He showed fear, and I've never seen fear in his – in a long time I haven't seen fear in Glenn's face.
Glenn's like a cockroach.
You still with us, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying Glenn's living in the moment now. He's not worried about the future. He's not saving any bullets the way he was shooting up the wall.
That's true. So you have they come out, they're all dead. There's still one guy alive, and Jesus kills him.
Yes.
I thought it was a great
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
But then you have Gabriel's walking through, and the guy that Tara had shot, and she shot him 3 times but didn't give a kill shot. It was a nice little scene between Gabriel and this guy. He goes, you know, you're already dead, you're this, that, and he shoots him. So the last two people to die that were shot were killed by Jesus and the priest.
And the priest. Yeah, I had a joke there. Jesus, a priest, and a lesbian are in a truck. One of them doesn't kill a person. I don't know. There's a joke in there somewhere, but I did think it was funny when they were sitting in the car having their little round table. I was like,
you have a little round table?
Yeah.
So it's daylight, but then it's all of a sudden it's daylight, and I'm sitting there. I go, okay, no one's checked on Maggie and Carol yet. No one said, hey, it's safe to come out, Maggie and Carol. Because when it started, it was midnight, right?
Yeah, I thought it came daylight pretty quickly.
It's daylight because Glenn is so concerned. is more concerned about Scott. Hey, you don't have to go on this mission with Tara for 2 weeks. No, I need to get out of town. I need to get some air.
You know, it's a good thing. You know, normally Walking Dead will like skip to them being back at their own Alexandria, and you'd be like, so how'd they get out of there? You know, like, so I'm glad they didn't do that this time.
Okay. I agree with that. I agree with that. But see, so it's daylight. They don't say anything. So Morgan, we got Morgan welding something. We don't know what it is, right?
Yeah, it's true.
I think it's a cross or something. What do you guys think?
Why would it be a cross?
I don't know. What else would he be welding? I don't know.
I thought he was welding, like, bars or something, maybe for, like, a jail or something.
Oh, maybe.
That's a good theory, Russ. Mike just shook his head no. You think no? You're saying no, Mike?
Yeah, I was trying to get through this episode. I didn't even notice that scene.
No, that's a good theory, Russ. I mean, because that pulls from his past, too. Yeah, you know, that whole...
Right.
It's like, I don't know, Russ. That's like your best three-point shot on the show. It's like, out of nowhere.
You just Steph Curry'd it.
Every now and then.
Every now and then. I thought he was.
I can't say what I wanted to say, so I had to go with that.
Russell will be getting all the chicks tonight.
Yeah. Rick and Michonne are talking. Michonne's wondering which one is Negan. Is it Negan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Negan. And then some guy gets on a motorcycle, and of course that ticks off Glenn.
Daryl.
That was his motorcycle, right?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if that was his motorcycle. I think it was just the fact that he was like. How did
we miss this guy? Well, I thought he lost his bike.
Oh, did he?
So the couple.
No, that wasn't Glenn's Daryl's. That motorcycle was like yellow or something, and Daryl.
Yeah, it did
like
have a different.
Yeah. Because
he said, "Where'd you get that bike?" Because they shoot him, they stop him, and then we hear our voice in the walkie-talkie saying, "Hey, all of you, put down your weapons." Well, I don't think we're going to do that. So they can put down their weapons. They go, well, we have someone named Carol and Maggie, and then just stops.
Party for two.
So that's how it ended. It ended on a cliffhanger. We'll go down the row here. Russ, what did you think of this episode?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
What'd you like about it?
It was action. Lots of action.
Okay. Mike.
I thought it was boring.
You thought it was boring.
Yeah.
What didn't you like about this episode?
I didn't like it. I don't know. I was just trying to rush through it to get to this podcast. I thought it was boring.
Maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah, probably.
Matt, what did you think of this episode?
I liked it. I don't know. It was nice to have that high octane, like, what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm just worried that one of these characters is going to die, and they did one of those kind of, like, tricks where it's like you think it's going to be these people, and then all of a sudden it's like, wha-bam. And I liked the twist there at the end. There's some kind of, like, nitpicky things that we could say, like, you know, how were they such sound sleepers and they could kill them so easily? Right. But I liked the fact that it pointed that whole thing about life and death, you know. Even the priest, like, when he's, like, he's on your screen right now, but when he's given those Bible kind of quotes to that guy right before he kills him, I thought it was a nice moment of character growth and dialogue individually with all of those people. I mean, it's hard to do an ensemble show where you have all of these characters kind of moving parts and keeping our interest, and I don't know. For once, I was like, wow, okay, this has been a steady increase here of really good episodes right in a row, so...
Did you guys notice that, like, the last couple of episodes, especially for this season, that they've always started out with, like, some good tune at the beginning, and there's been some good one-liners going on, too?
What?
Like this episode what? Started with music again, too.
Well, so taking a cue from Lost.
Yeah, so the two songs that were played were Weeds or Wildflowers by Parson Field, and Arsonist's Lullaby by Hoosier?
Hoosier?
It's not spelled Hoosier. Like Hoosier?
Is it H-O-Z-I-E-R?
Yes, there you go.
That's Hoosier, yeah.
Okay, have you seen them?
Mike's seen them in concert.
He's popular with the kids nowadays. Yeah, I saw him last year.
He's popular with the young kids out there.
I'm a singer. He's got the things. Take me to church.
I kind of like it when they put some tunes in there and... You know, you got some one-liners, and, you know, you got Abraham.
Did you guys mute Russ?
No, I think
you wanted me to sing my song by myself without being interrupted by Russ.
Yeah, go ahead and sing it real quick before he comes back.
Take me to church. It was popular last year.
Okay, yeah.
Not like...
Well, I'm gonna say I love.
You seem really enthused by it, Tom.
Mike, you're gonna be a lone wolf here because I liked the episode because we talked about last week. I hope it's not one of these episodes where they start off with something else, and that's where I thought they were going with it because you had been mentioning we haven't seen Carol, we haven't seen Morgan, and what's the first thing we see is Carol baking cookies. I go, oh, what are we doing? Are we going back to? Are we doing something? We're going back to? Are it's gonna right. be 3 weeks before they do this battle? 4 weeks before they do this battle? And it wasn't. They went straight in. Hopefully they've learned from their mistakes of the past, and they're not going to slow down the story. They keep the story moving. I thought this. I've been all in with this season. I think it's been good television, and I enjoyed the episode.
Hey, it's fine. I like the previous episodes. I'll be back next week.
No, I'm just saying. It just
for that episode went well for me.
But wouldn't you have been, I would be 100% behind you if this would have been, okay, Carol, and the whole episode about Carol moping and Carol trying to find herself and Carol this, that. They did it in the episode and still kept the story going. Like Matt said, Gabriel's character grew a little bit in this one. Other characters.
Like, everybody had a little bit of a part. Like the Abraham thing, even though it sucked, it was kind of nice to like at least move forward with that storyline. It's not going to drag out. We got some resolution as far as like what happened. Did they tell Rick about the wolf? What was the backstory? You know,
right?
You know, and that's where I was kind of like, well, they're kind of tying up some loose ends here with Carol. Like she might be on the chopping block. You know, right. So to speak, like as far as like a character that gets killed. Theories going forward. Here's my Matt Pot theory of this episode is that, or moving forward, I think they're gonna hold Carol and Maggie hostage, and it's Glenn that's going to offer himself up in place of Maggie. I don't know how that'll go down, but I think that somehow those two are gonna get flipped because he's not gonna let Maggie. Glenn's just not going to let. And I think Rick's going to be probably more of the, like, we don't negotiate with terrorists, you know, and they'll just hole up in that building, maybe, even though it doesn't look like there's much food.
Does Rick have to give himself up because he's the leader?
He's not going to do that. I don't see Rick. Well, maybe. Hey, that could be your crackpot theory.
No, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying could that happen? could that possibly happen? Well, here's where, you know, I think Russ is right. I think it is a jail.
That was the A-team montage scene where they get ready to fight the bad guys.
No, I think
he's making a gun turret for the van.
Russ is back. I think
I'm back.
He's making a jail cell. I think that's what he's making.
Russ, I think you're right. Yeah.
That's what I think.
Opinion fool makes a jail cell.
I don't know why he's crying, but he's upset. But I think that's what he's doing. I think he's making a jail
cell. He's sad that Rosita's gonna die in two episodes.
You think Rosita's dead?
He's like, oh man, we're gonna lose another pretty girl from the show. Sad, sad times.
Another pretty chick.
What if
Michonne is tired of killing people?
Yeah.
He's tired of the violence.
Oh, there's the motorcycle.
Yeah.
So, what if he's building the jail cell for Rick? Like, he's gonna...
Well, how's he gonna hold Rick?
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody's on his side.
I only have one Matt Pot theory for the week.
Okay.
So. I don't know why I don't call it crack.
I like the name Matt.
I would like to see if he would have, before the girl on the walk talk, he said, what? What? I'm going to say it right now, that we will not have a third week in a row with Rick saying, what?
Calling your shot like Babe Ruth.
Calling him now.
You're calling your shot. You're saying he'll bring Carl back. Carl.
Carl's gone. But what's with Daryl all of a sudden now chasing after people? Every episode now he has to run after people now. Where's his bow? Where's his crossbow?
We're not turning into a show commentary show.
But did he lose it? Did he lose his crossbow?
No, but I think after he used that RPG, I think he's like, these weapons kind of cause more damage.
they move a lot faster.
Yeah.
They're just a little bit louder. I was kind of surprised that all of the gunfire didn't draw more walkers to that building. Well,
someone had on our Facebook page, wouldn't the horn sirens bring more walkers to the area? With the sirens going off when the guy pulled the alarm at the compound?
Right.
Unless the compound is like in an area where there's no walkers.
Well, we just saw that there was a walker because Carol killed one so that it wouldn't kill Maggie. So there's walkers around, clearly. Yeah. But it's nice that we got a lot more people on people action as opposed to just like zombie threats.
They were just telling us at the beginning of the season, we said this before, that the zombies are no longer the threat. It's people.
Yeah, and Jesus says it too. In this episode, he's like, so this is the next world or something like
right,
that.
It's the next world. But this is the zombies are out there, but they're not the threat anymore. It's the people.
So like two or three, two seasons ago, like the governor.
Yeah.
We're back to that.
Anyway, that's the episode. That's what we thought. That's all I got. Anybody else?
Any
comments?
If you have any of your beet acorn recipes, send them in to us at three stupid guys on Twitter.
Twitter, yeah.
Russ will read it. He'll probably make them.
I would love to try it.
If I know Jack mentioned it at the beginning, but you can always support our podcast by donating to patreon.com/JayandJack. Mm-hmm. So, two of our biggest supporters, Tack from Tokyo and
Eckhart Richter Gleifelter.
That's what it is. Yeah.
So smooth. What a transition, Matt.
Well, to be fair, I struggled.
It was a setup.
I struggled.
I know, I'm saying. It was a pretty good setup.
Well, that's our show for today. Hasta luego and goodbye.
It's not our best show in a million.
Shout out to the wife beaters in the Midwest.
Whoa.
See you next week, wife beaters.
Hey, you know when are we still recording?
We're still recording. No, cut him off.
We're still recording, Russ.
Drop that guy.
Oh man.
Just say goodbye and I'll stop the recording.
Okay, what's Twitter?
All right. Thanks, guys.